Welcome back. This is session two of our series titled Lost in Translation. As we get started, let me read a couple of quotes for you. The first one is from the Companion Bible that was printed in 1974 by Zondervan Bible Publishers. Here's the quote. Our English Bibles follow the order as given in the Latin Vulgate. This order, therefore, depends on the arbitrary judgment of one man, Jerome. All theories based on this order rest on human authority and are thus without any foundation. End of quote. The next quote is from a book written by Ernest Martin titled Restoring the Original Bible, printed in 1994. All teachings in the Bible will become clearer and plainer when the biblical books are placed back in their correct order. It is truly amazing what the books of the Bible have to tell us when we read the Holy Scriptures in the context that was first intended by God. End of quote. About 20 years after the Catholic Church changed the Sabbath from the biblical designated day, Saturday, to Sunday, the first day of the week, the Pope had Jerome change the order of the Scriptures, order of the books of the Bible. Man has made many changes to God's Word. Why didn't God stop it? These things, these changes to the Bible are, in my opinion, part of a large-scale prophetic word the Scripture talks about that is coming to pass. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then Matthew 24, verse 42. Therefore, stay alert, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Mark and Luke echo the same thing. Mark 13, 21 and Luke 17, 23 echo exactly what Matthew is saying. People will be saying, look here, look there, here is the Christ, here is the Word, here is the truth. And Scriptures tell us, do not believe it, do not follow it. In my view, we are living in the days mentioned in these passages from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Take some time to review them and ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, to give you revelation as to how each of these warnings apply to you personally. Over the years, as she cared for our children and even our grandchildren, Jean is always saying that she wants the baby's emotional cup full so he or she will be at peace throughout the day. This allows for healthy growth of the child. In my teachings, I am not so concerned about your emotions. No, I don't want to offend you or upset you emotionally, but I have a higher concern, and that concern is the day that you, by yourself, all alone, stand before the Lord. I do not want you to hear the Lord say to you, as we find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I do not want you to hear these words because you failed to live out what the Word of God teaches. And I'm talking about the entire Word of God. Following all the religious traditions of your local church or culture is not the same thing as following the teachings of the whole Bible. In Noah's day, the people did not even notice what was about to happen. Did you catch that when I read that one passage there? Let me flip back to it. Matthew 24, 37 through 39. They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. Scripture is very clear that only a few people from the vast sea of humanity will find that gate that is narrow, that will walk down that path that is hard. Let me read Matthew 24:2 again. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Matthew 24:2 is not restricted to the physical appearances of the Messiah, no. Because we know from Scripture the Messiah is what? The Messiah is the Word that became flesh. The Messiah is the Word of God. The passage in Matthew is addressing the Word of God as much as the man Christ Jesus. According to John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word the Creator spoke into Genesis became man, and we know this man by his Hebrew name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In Genesis 1:3, we read that God said, grasp that, Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke the universe into existence. The Hebrew word translated to our English word said or say is amar. Amar is somewhat different from the Hebrew word dabar or davar, which means to speak. We all know that we can say things without uttering a word. We can say things verbally or non-verbally. Both are included in the Hebrew word amar, to say. John 1:14 tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 1:14, the Devar became flesh. God the Father is speaking to us through his Son. And in Hebrew, the Hebrew scriptures, this word Devar does not have a singular meaning. It has a dual meaning, much like a coin has two sides. First, it covers what is actually spoken, the words that come out, the importance of these words. And secondly, what is done as a result, or what is done through these words. Devar designates anything from a word, a promise, a message is given, or a report is given, or a plan of God. Or it may too mean something that is done, an action that is taken. The Devar of God is not merely words alone, but also the related actions. God's words are never words alone. There must be action, what is done because a word was given. And God said, let there be light. Boom, and there was light. And the Word became flesh. There was a human aspect to the Messiah. the Messiah spoke words and the Messiah did things. He said the word and he lived the word. This is the same requirement that is placed upon anyone who would follow him. Too often, the institutional church wants us to say the right things, behave the right way, yet not require us to do the right things or say the right things according to the standard, which is the Word of God we find in the Bible. Oh, the local church absolutely wants us to do things, but according to their plans and according to the traditions of that respective local church. At other times, more damaging, I think, the institutional church defines or restricts what portions of the Bible we are to pay attention to and which things are not relevant to us today. Matthew 5:18 makes it clear that even the smallest mark in the Hebrew Bible is very important to the author. Look up Matthew 5:18 and read it. God does not waste his words. Every word, every mark in the Hebrew Bible is relevant to both the listener and the reader. When the modern church declared that the Sabbath was not the seventh day any longer, but the first day of the week, man changed the Word of God. And how many of us obey man's word and totally disregard God's word? Almost every local church I have been in over the years has, in some way, changed God's word to suit their religious traditions or their respective doctrines. At times they disregard the word of God so they won't offend someone. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain traditions even as I deliver them to you. Let me slip back and read Matthew 24:2 again. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Now keep in mind, the Word of God became flesh. What we know is the Messiah. Let me paraphrase Matthew 24:2 by replacing the word Christ with synonyms, which would be the word teaching, or word, or interpretation. Okay, because the Word of God became flesh. Okay, here's my rendering of Matthew 24:2. If anyone tells you that a person, a church, or denomination has the right interpretation of the Word of God found in the Bible, or someone else says, no, the best teaching is over there, do not believe any of them. My Word is found in the Holy Scriptures. My Spirit is the Master Teacher. Into my paraphrase version of Matthew 24:2. We live in a time when a theological perspective is more important than what the Word of God actually says. You might identify yourself with a number of expressions that are not clearly found in Scripture. Sometimes I hear people say that we live in the age of grace, or someone else may say, I am not bound by the commands of the Bible because I am saved by grace, or some other expression that in all likelihood takes precedent over the actual words found in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God for us. Anyone who places greater value on the portion called the New Testament at the expense of the Old Testament, you should be very leery. You should be very concerned about that person. man separated God's word into two parts. Man rearranged the order of the Bible. Man changed the Sabbath to Sunday. Man created religious holidays that are not found in the Bible. Man continues to decide what portions of the Bible are relevant to us today. In these last days, many will say they have the right word, yet not do the word as it is written. The written word we have in the Bible must be studied and understood in context without separating Genesis from Revelation. The right context is through the original language and culture. There's one covenant regarding the salvation of all men and women. As far as God is concerned, there is not an Old Testament or New Testament. There is only His Word, cover to cover. So, this teaching may be an alarm sounding to cause you to stop and hopefully listen. Beginning hundreds of years ago, subtle and at times profoundly overt efforts have been inserted into Western Christendom, actions that have greatly impacted the Christian world today. The end result is the Christian world is divided and splintered as a result. This is not a matter of semantics, but a disregard for the written word of God as the Lord intended His word to be propagated through the centuries. Even the separation of the Bible into two parts, the Old and New Covenants or the Old and New Testaments, is not endorsed by the author of the book. Thank you for your time, and until we meet again, may the Lord watch over you. May these words of these first two sessions in the series titled Lost in Translation resonate in you. Ask the Master Teacher, the Holy Spirit, to give you greater understanding. Thank you.